SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you stopping by as we're getting ready, of course, for a loaded night here in the world of sports, as we've got about half a dozen NBA games going to tip off this hour. We've got about five NHL games. We do have a couple of more college basketball games, the NIT, which will take center stage as March Madness will resume tomorrow and Friday for the Sweet 16. And I do want to remind you, by the way, if the Sports Millions Pick'em isn't your thing, don't forget this week about the Sports Millions Blitz'em.
Enjoy Sports Millions Pick'ems, but hate making the picks yourself? Well, Sports Millions has you covered. Head on over and play Sports Millions Blitz'em right now and let the computer do the work. Go to sportsmillions.com/blitz'em to be able to win big prizes without having to make a single pick yourself. That's sportsmillions.com/blitz'em.
All right, good stuff there. And we are off and running in one of those NIT games right now. Kent State and Loyola Chicago underway in the first half of the double NIT matchups tonight. The late game will be UAB, the Blazers, taking on UC Irvine. The winner of both of these games will fly out to Indy for the NIT championship. So we'll keep an eye on those games as we get ready, of course, for, we told you, six games in the NBA and some injury news across the board in the association tonight. We are monitoring, especially when it comes to the New York Knicks and the LA Clippers. Knicks on the second of a back-to-back here, in which there were some questions with the Clippers and James Harden and whether he'd be available tonight. And he has been ruled in for this game. And good news for the Knicks, Mitchell Robinson has also been upgraded and is now available to play for them. So the Clippers have been absolutely red hot. There's nothing not to like here. The minute Kawhi Leonard appears to have got his legs under him, he's 100% healthy. Norm Powell back in that lineup. James Harden, this as of the last, or at least after the break, this is exactly the kind of Clippers team we thought we were going to get all year long. Took a little while for them to get there, but they have been rolling teams here. And the Knicks, still no Jalen Brunson, no McBride tonight. They are hoping, though, on the second of a back-to-back, they'll have enough in the tank to be able to hang with the red-hot LA Clippers. Current line still seeing Clippers minus -5. The total has ticked up from the open of 217.5. We're starting to see 220, even 219.5 available in the market. We did see this about 10 days ago, I believe, this game. And it was no Jalen Brunson once again for the Knicks. And I don't think Norm Powell was even available for that last game against the Clippers. And the Knicks, it was a very low-scoring game. Knicks only scored 92 points and a loss. And the team total for the New York Knicks tonight was close to 109.5 in this matchup here. That's a lot of points, I think, for a Knicks team on the second of a back-to-back. The Clippers are a lot of things, but they have been great defensively. They are not going to be running up and down the court. And if we're being honest, the Knicks in the second of a back-to-back probably looking to make this a half-court game anyway. So I don't mind the under look in this one at 219.5. I'd be willing to go under in this matchup, but we also have the Lakers looking to finally win a game again. It feels like it's been a hot minute. Just a couple of weeks ago, LeBron James, Luka Doncic, and the Lakers are rolling right into the number two seed in the West. And then, well, then LeBron got hurt and the wheels fell off of this team. LeBron comes back. They've played no defense, and they are losing games, including just a couple of nights ago to the Orlando magic in just embarrassing fashion as well. They continue to give up a ton of points, and the offense just has not been there. They will go into Indiana, who has been playing some great basketball, and we all know Indiana. They are the Pacers, which is ironic given the fact that they are going to want to play with a whole lot of pace here tonight. The Lakers have to go small ball here. They don't have a legit big or bigs to be able to roll out there. They give up a ton of open three looks. You know the Pacers are going to want to run up and down the court here. I don't know how this thing will stay under. I know it opened at 232. It was bet up to about 234 and a half, 235. I still think this is a over here tonight with the Lakers until they can show me they're capable or want to play defense at some particular point. They are going to have to score 120, 25 points to beat teams. And if that's the case, I think Indiana going to be right there with them. I'd be willing to look at an over. The Lakers, a minus one and a half point favorite on the road against this Indiana team. And not the way they currently look. These two teams in current form, Indiana has been heads and tails above what we have seen from the Lakers. Also, the late game tonight, still waiting on confirmation on what Jason Tatum is going to do. The overwhelming feeling was that he would not play tonight, given the ankle injury that he sustained a couple of nights ago. They're taking on the Phoenix Suns. This is the fourth game in six nights for the Boston Celtics, third and four on the road. And he rolled his ankle a couple of nights ago, a couple of games ago, didn't play in the last one. Now he's somehow going to play in a game that, let's face it, really doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot to Boston. They're kind of locked into that number two seed. I'm not quite sure why they would play him, but the market has bet it as if they think he's going to play. This is the late game tonight. So I would wait. It would not shock me at all if we get a couple of guys that we learn not playing for Boston tonight last minute, and this line comes crashing back down. It opened up three is what the Boston Celtics were a favorite for. But the Phoenix Suns have been red hot, and the Phoenix Suns are desperate. They got to win games as they're trying to solidify that final play-in spot there to make sure that they've got postseason basketball in their future. And thank goodness they've got Kevin Durant and Devin Booker playing like, well, Kevin Durant and Devin Booker of what we have come to know. They are playing some tremendous basketball, and Kevin Durant has been absolutely on fire. It feels like he's averaging about 38, 40 points a game. Devin Booker getting involved. The kid Ryan Dunn, the rookie out of Virginia. Unbelievable defensive effort that he has brought and really kind of elevated this team. Grayson Allen back in the picture. Looks like he's healthy again. Phoenix is very difficult at home. And I would be very weary of confusing the Phoenix of a couple of months ago with what we have seen over the last couple of weeks. It is night and day. What we have gotten from the Phoenix Suns. And six is an awful lot of points for a Boston Celtics team who, hey, listen, they may win this game, but asking them to win by multiple possessions on the road in a fourth game in six nights, third on the road in four nights, that's a big ask here. I would look to bet Phoenix sooner, and I'd hold off to bet Boston until later. We'll have more as Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network as we get ready for more madness to begin tomorrow night with the Sweet 16. Well, we got a little madness here for you right now, and who better to talk college hoops with than our good friend Colby Dant in the house, as we just watched Colby, Illinois State take down that CBI championship there, beating Cleveland State 79-68. They were a two-point favorite. They handled business. Another over. Shocker in these extra tournaments in college hoops. The NIT, two games here tonight. Kent State, Loyola, just underway, 15 apiece at the 14-minute mark. And then UAB, UC Irvine, winners of these games, will play the championship for the NIT. How did you look at those two games here tonight?
Yeah, love the NIT action, love the CBI, Daytona Beach. Well, it wasn't rocking, but, you know, it's basketball. What are we going to do? I like Loyola Chicago. I think it closed at a worse number. I got it last night at 4.5, but I think 5.5 can still bring you home. They've been playing on fire at that building, and they actually have the crowd that Sister Jean might even be there. But another thing I like is the under. I think it's at 142.5. They have been an elite defensive team in that building. And to me, specifically that building, I think the whole handicap is that building because they have been fire there all year. So I'm going to take the under. I'm sitting on -4.5, but I know in game you might even, I don't know what you can give, 3.5 right now, I think. So give me them. Valentine's got that team playing better, man. I know Kent State's been a good team all year, but I think they'll run into some troubles here, especially with that crowd behind them.
Yeah, trending to the over again. Shocker as Loyola and Kent State right now, 18-17 at the 14-minute mark. In-game number 159.5. That closed at 142, which is hilarious. And the UAB-UC Irvine game is interesting, too, tonight, because UAB has played all their games out west. Let's face it, they've beaten some teams that we didn't know what kind of mindset they were going to be after blowing it to Memphis there in their conference tournament with a chip to March Madness on a line. You weren't sure what you were going to get for them, but they have responded in a big way. Do they have one more in them? Because they've been bet like everyone knows what the score is.
Yeah, that's a credit to Andy Kennedy, because I think like you coming tournament, I was like, this is, if they play to their potential, they could win the T. If they're, you know, sometimes your team's all checked out, you got players in the portal, you heard Izzo went viral talking about that. But to Andy Kenny's credit, not only has he got the team together, I think they had one guy hit the portal, but that was like not one of their top players. Yaxel Lendenberg has been an absolute force all year, let alone the NIT. They went out to Santa Clara, 7.5-point dogs. I rode them on the money line. Why would I jump off here? I know Irvine, Turner does a great job with those guys. They probably should have, you know, I know they weren't even on the bubble after losing to UC Irvine, but they've won 30 games. They probably should have been in. But I think UAB is just way more athletic than them. I think they will give them problems defensively. But I'll tell you, the overplay that I think you might have your eyes on is appealing as well, because UAB, what they do the other night, they UAB scored I forget the exact number, but they scored a ton of points at Santa Clara the other night.
Yep.
And with them staying out in California, because they were in Santa Clara like 4 days ago, they scored 88, by the way, against the Broncos. If they even get close to that thing, if they even get 80, I think you're looking good on this over, and I think they will. So, yeah, I mean, you looked at what they did. They scored in the 70s against Memphis. Memphis's length so much more than UC Irvine's. So I will load up on UAB here. I'm gonna sprinkle the money line because I think they're just they have a different caliber athlete. They have a lot of SEC transfers on that team, and I will also ride the over there.
I am now seeing 3.5s popping up in the market, which means the money continues to come in on UAB. Again, UC Irvine is the home team here for these NITs. The championship will be in Indy. All right, so we've got still a couple of games in these other tournaments happening, but of course March Madness resumes in the Sweet 16 tomorrow. I've had a couple of guys on here that think, for as chalky as this tournament has been, maybe the outright upsets begin in the Sweet 16 here. So tomorrow, I think it opens up. You've got the Western region there with Florida taking on Maryland. in that game. 6.5. Florida is a favorite. I just worry about depth with Maryland. They got five great starters, and then after that, they've got absolutely nobody here, Colby. While Florida can throw four or five guys at Queen and Reese, and if they get in foul trouble, what does Maryland do then?
100%. And honestly, both these teams probably didn't deserve to win the game they just played in. But Florida was able to figure it out. Maryland was able to figure it out, whether it was a travel, whatever you want to say. They got it done, right? They put themselves in a spot to make the call happen. The ref didn't call. So credit to both these teams for figuring it out. But I'm like you, and you kind of hit the nail on the head with the rotation for Maryland's an issue. Kevin Willard, I never liked him in March. I guess you could say Todd Golden hasn't looked great in March, especially after that UConn game. But I just think Florida's too talented. They could throw too many bodies at him. He's back in San Francisco. I know he's playing in the same gym where he was the coach of the Dons. I don't know if that gives you too much of an comfortability is comfortability there. But really, I just think I just don't think Maryland's that good. They have some guys, but I think Florida's level of talent is just much higher than Maryland's. So I'm going to lay the number. I think Florida wins by double digits, personally.
I'm with you here. I mean, you were outplayed by Colorado State. I mean, Florida was in a war against the two-time defending national champions who weren't rolling over for anybody. You know, Nico Medved almost outcoached you. We'll have more, though, with Colby and March Madness as Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network as we welcome back in our good friend Colby Dant, the Sweet 16. Resumes tomorrow, March Madness here. And Colby, a couple of other interesting games to kick it off tomorrow. Arkansas, Texas Tech is the other one where I've heard a lot of love for Arkansas. Chance McMillan doesn't sound like he's going tomorrow. They say it's a game time decision, but he's a big part of what Texas Tech, when you go up against a team like Arkansas, who's going to want to muck this thing up and make it a dog and street fight here. Do we trust Texas Tech here to lay the 5.5 at this point?
I actually like Texas Tech a lot in this spot. Now, obviously you want McMillan to play, but he's been dinged up. They have big wins without him this season. Now, obviously you'd want all your weapons, but my logic is this, Grant McCaslin is a really good defensive coach. Now, he was at Baylor when they won the Natty, and he's since left Baylor, and Baylor has not been the same. He went to North Texas where they won a tournament game and great defensive team. He's going to go zone. I was shocked Rick Pitino never went zone in that game. The Kansas game, when Kansas went zone, Arkansas couldn't buy a bucket. They can't shoot. They cannot shoot. As much as Arkansas has been a good story, credit to Calipari. They were better than St. John's the other day. But St. John's, I thought Calipari really outcoached Pitino. I was shocked that, to open up the second half, they just ran the same play, it seemed like, with guys beating them off the dribble after two screens, and they were late on the rotation. I don't think they're going to give them that. I think they're going to go zone. And one of the things I like about Texas Tech, even if the injuries are a factor, is they shoot the ball way better than St. John's does. They have some guys that can hit the open three, and one of the big things is they have a couple shot creators, whether it's Toppin, whether it's Williams. They got some guys that can create the shot. I like laying the points there, but I think the real thing will be, I don't think they're going to let Arkansas beat you off the dribble. They're going to go zone. They're going to make you have to hit jump shots, and I don't think they can.
That's a lot of big ifs there for Arkansas, but Coach Cal's done a heck of a job pushing all the right buttons with this crew, that is for sure. The other side of those games tomorrow, though, Bama taking on BYU, and of course Duke taking on Arizona. I don't think Duke is losing to Arizona. I think Duke's or the team left that could very well give them the biggest run for the money, I believe, is Alabama. I don't think it's Arizona. But what do you think of the those other two games here? Is there a dog in your future in those?
Yeah, I mean, not. I'm with you on the Arizona one. I thought they looked bad in their win. And I think Duke, the way they're playing at that level they're playing at, the defense is playing phenomenally. And Arizona's all over the place to me. So I like laying that number with Duke. But I will say the BYU-Alabama game to me is the intriguing one. Ever since BYU switched up in mid-January and put the bigs in the starting lineup there, it has worked out for them for the most part. I think they've only lost a couple games. And I think those bigs, I'm talking about Moat Mag, the transfer from Rutgers. I'm talking about Kata, yep, the other big man. I think they can actually give Alabama a little bit of problems. Alabama likes to get a bunch of easy buckets around the rim. I don't know that they'll have that luxury. Now, Bama could still win this game because their guard play is so good, but I like taking BYU in the points. And I would not be shocked if they won this thing, but I'm just going to take the points because you're getting more than two possessions, you know, or you're getting 5.5. So, like, I think this will be a one-possession game, two-possession game, with the chance of BYU to steal this thing outright.
A lot of public. It feels like the trendy dog is Ole Miss going up against Izzo. The amount of depth on that Michigan State team is, it's like Florida to me. It's like, my goodness here. But does Ole Miss upend Izzo?
I don't think so. I think Izzo's teams had gut checks all year. I waited for them to have a bad week, and I feel like that never came. And they had gut check games where they were down 10 to Oregon and East Lansing. They had games down, you know, 5, 10 in critical moments. And I was really impressed, yeah, by this team's, like, will and determination to get that win. I like this spot. Rebounding. Circle the rebounding. Michigan State's got a huge advantage here. I love Sparty to get it done against Ole Miss.
Yeah, I think there are some opportunities here over the next couple of days here to jump in. But pick your spots carefully, to say the least, because Michigan, maybe their reign of winning games 3 points or less is over. It wouldn't shock me at all, but we'll have much more on it. And Colby, we look forward to talking to you, brother. Game Time Decisions will return after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome in. Game Time Decisions here, rolling on this Wednesday here, the final Wednesday of March. The madness resumes tomorrow, as the Sweet 16 will take center stage. But in the meantime, we got some other things going on, like, oh, I don't know, Major League Baseball. Opening day is tomorrow. And the start of the little Texas swing on the PGA Tour, the Houston Open, will also be center stage tomorrow through the weekend. The last couple of tune-ups until we get to Augusta and the first major of the year. And who better to break it all down with than our good friend? There he is, Brady Cannon here. As Brady, you know, I'd mentioned this earlier, non-signature event. This is, you know, the end of the Florida Tour. You got this week here in Houston, then San Antonio, and then, of course, Augusta. Very interesting that I see a name like Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy showing up at the Houston Open. And the only thing I can come up with is that these guys they're working on their game for Augusta. It's not about winning this tournament. This is much more about them trying to figure some things out before they head into to Augusta. What do you think?
I totally agree with you, and maybe more so figuring things out for Scotty than for Rory. I think Rory just wants to stay fresh. He's hot as a pistol, right? You know, coming off the win at the Players' Championship, one at Pebble Beach before that, the first time ever in his career he's had two wins prior to Augusta, and now, you know, all that hype surrounding him, is he finally going to slip on that green jacket and complete the career Grand Slam? Scotty, you know, it's not like this guy's been in a slump, but he's finishing top 20. 20 and top 10 instead of winning and finishing top five. We know he got a late start to the year with the hand injury over Christmas, and he just hasn't found that Scotty gear yet, and it could come this week. He's finished runner-up at this tournament twice, but of the two tournaments we have prior to Augusta, the Houston Open and the Valero, this golf course here is much more major championship prep-like. The shaved runoff areas around the green are very similar to Augusta, where you really have to have that touch to be able to get up and down. It's a long course. It's a par 70 at nearly 7,500 yards. It's a beast. It's a very difficult golf course. So this is a really good test going into Augusta National. Next week, very different. But we're going to get a lot of star power in the field next week, too. This week, we've got the two biggest names in the game. Next week, we've got a laundry list of those second-tier guys. So everybody kind of planning their schedule on how they want to roll into Magnolia Lane in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, it's we've got some course history. A lot of these guys in there. It's a bomber's course. The longer you are, the better chance you have here of scoring. We've seen Steven Yeager. We've seen Finau do well here. Who are some of the guys you're looking at taking some bets with here?
I pretty much went with bombers as well. I started with Maverick. You know, one thing I looked at, Joe, is, and this is not necessarily a correlated course for me, but guys that have done well at Torrey Pines, we know how big that golf course is, nearly 7,800 yards. You know, I mean, that guys that hit it short aren't exactly, you know, chopping up the trophies there at Torrey Pines. But Maverick McNealy, we saw him finish runner-up at Torrey Pines recently. He's had finishes of 20, 19th and 27th here. This guy is really playing as well as anybody. Now he's missed his last two cuts, but you know, I think he probably needed to come down a bit off of that hard luck loss at Torrey where Ober got him at the end. And I think this is a good reset spot for him. And then I went to Thomas Dietrich, another guy who's finished done very, very well at Torrey Pines and finished runner-up here in Houston last year. And both McNealy and Dietrich can really putt, and they've got recent victories on tour. So I think the form is fine. And then I went with a guy, Alex Smalley, who's probably playing the best golf of his career. He's had multiple top 25 finishes already this season. He can hit the ball long. He really scrambles well. And then another guy that is one of the best drivers, you know, other than Rory McIlroy, this guy is absolutely one of the best drivers of the golf ball, and that's Keith Mitchell. Got him at 66-1. I've seen even higher. People staying away from Keith Mitchell this week, but he's got the ball striking chops and the work off of the tee. And then three longer bombs at 80-1 and deeper. I talk about Torrey Pines. You know, for the Farmers, we hit Harris English there, and I went with English again. You know, I think this guy has done well at these big, long golf courses like Torrey, like Winged Foot. Got him at 80-1. He can really scramble. He can really putt. And then Nick Taylor, another guy that won earlier this year, great ball striker. He's the one guy I have that doesn't bomb it off the tee, but, you know, he does everything else very, very well. So I took a stab with him. And then finally, yet another guy who hits it long and has done well at Torrey Pines, and that's Nikolai Højgaard, triple digits at 100-1. So, you know, with Scotty and Rory, you know, priced so low, everybody else, I mean, the shortest guy I went with was 50-1. I've got anywhere from 50-100-1, you know, seven different guys. We'll see if we can nail one of them.
So it's interesting, too. I know I've heard a lot about Aaron Rye, maybe in that top 10, top 20 market, a guy that's played well, but he's not the longest guy off the tee, right? And which is interesting. And whatever happened, this feels like a Sahith Theegala kind of course where the way he's off the tee, because he's kind of been all over the place, but it feels like a tournament where a guy like that can get right here, which leaves open a lot of opportunities here for some of them.
I'm right there with you, Joe. Aaron Rye is definitely a popular name this week. He's a very, very good player. You're right. He doesn't have the length off the tee, but he's kind of like Nick Taylor, where he's deadly accurate. He's a great ball striker. He can really play the irons. And yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he has success at all. Thigala is perfect for this track. In fact, he has a win at Silverado, which is one of my correlated courses. His only PGA Tour win came at a course that I think has some similarities to Memorial Park here in Houston. And I looked at Thigala, and I just couldn't get there because his form, like you say, has been all over the place. He's been really erratic. It's been a little while now, too. And overall, the iron play has not been good. He can't hit it straight. And then, you know, every now and then he'll show up and he'll have a round where, you know, he shoots 62 or he finishes top 10. But for the most part, he really hasn't been making a lot of noise. Again, I wouldn't be surprised because, yeah, he should be a great fit for this golf course. And I've seen a lot of action come in on him. I just don't like the timing. I don't like the current form.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, he would have been one of my first choices, but watching him in the last couple of tournaments, he looks like he's got no clue what's happening to his game. But, you know, we've got a look here at 2 weeks in Texas, and then, of course, it's Augusta. And for those that are joining us here, Brady, have you added anything to your list of future bets with the Masters here? Are you holding steadfast here, or are you thinking about adding anybody to the card?
I'm probably going to add one or two more. I'm not sure who it's going to be just yet. I currently have five in pocket. Four of them I feel really good about. I've got Hideki Matsuyama, Colin Morikawa, Brooks Koepka, who just finished runner-up recently in Singapore. And then I've got Tommy Fleetwood at 50-1, which is a pretty nice price on an awful good player. Yep. Now, the other one I added is a total shot in the dark, and it's just because what he's done at Augusta before and some of the correlated courses, it's Cam Young. Guy's missed four out of the last five cuts. You know, it'll take a minor miracle for him to win at Augusta. But he's done really, really well here in the past, and at 100-1, who knows? But those four selections, Fleetwood, Koepka, Matsuyama, Morikawa, I really like. Maybe I'll add one or two more. We'll see when I get with you next week, Joe.
I love it. All right, Brady, we will see you again in Game Time Decisions. We'll be back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on this Wednesday in the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Neri. Appreciate you stopping by as we're off and running here in the NBA tonight. Got a handful of games underway, a couple of more late night, Milwaukee and Denver, as well as Boston and Phoenix. And the good news is, of course, coming up top of the hour, in-game live with our next guest, Scotty Wetzel, will be taking over. And he will keep you posted all throughout the night on what's happening in these games, Scotty. And some interesting ones in the NBA here tonight, to say the least. Some of these lines I scratch in my head at. I do not understand why the Lakers would be a favorite against anybody right now, especially Indiana at home. But yet, they just tipped it off, and the Lakers closed as a small favorite here. What did you think? I mean, is now the game that the Lakers all of a sudden figure out how to play defense and get back on track?
Yeah, I know. The kind of weird line. Right? Even how about the Knicks being home underdogs? I mean, I know it's no Jalen Brunson, but they just tipped off. I was curious to see if, in fact, Carl Anthony Towns was playing, because if he is, I don't know why they would be a 4.5-point underdog. But, all the sites I looked at said, you know, there were nobody really, playing outside, obviously, Brunson. So, but yeah, with the Pacers, Lakers have lost five in a row on the road, 3-7 their last 10 overall. It hasn't changed since LeBron has come back. In fact, things have gotten worse since LeBron has come back from his groin injury there, or heel injury, whatever injury he had, the latest one, right? So I know it's got sucker written all over, but Indiana needs the game, fighting for playoff positioning in the East. Give me the Pacers plus the 1.5. We'll see what happens.
Well, the same thing, too. I mean, there were some questions about whether or not Harden was going to play for the Clippers, who have been absolutely red hot. But he was ruled in about an hour ago. So was Mitchell Robinson. So we'll see where that one goes. I still thought the under was the way to go with these two teams. But this Milwaukee game went from Denver being a 2.5-point favorite to Lillard out for the season and Giannis not playing tonight. And look at this number, Scotty. If this is not the quintessential fade the big move because of the injury, you got to have a system for this, my man. Please tell me you do.
I do, absolutely. And if you go to Roto World, one of the sites I use to find if guys are playing or not, they say the Joker and Michael Porter Jr. are questionable. So there's a chance that these guys won't play. And you got to know that line is going to come all the way back if those guys aren't playing, right? But it's up to 11. Yep. We've seen this 1,000 times, Joe, 1,000 times. The star players, I know there's two of them. But we've seen that, with Lillard, obviously, and Giannis not playing. These teams just rally to the cause. They just do. Whether it's rigged, whether there's a conspiracy, whether the main team, Denver, that's favored, has a letdown, the other guys are all pumped up, whatever it is, I'm telling you, way more times than not, that the team that's the underdog ends up either at least covering, if not winning outright. So you want to give me 11, 10.5, 11, I'll take it on the Milwaukee Bucks. You watch them play well tonight.
I mean, listen, the late night game, I don't know why Tatum would play in this game. And even though he's now questionable, this feels like one of those games, Scotty, where everybody ran to the window to bet Boston because they think Tatum's playing. 5 minutes before tip-off at 10 o'clock tonight, guess who's not going to be playing? Tatum, Porzingis, Brown. I guarantee it, and this line is going to crater here. So it feels like that's another one of these situations where Boston, I don't need this game. Phoenix needs this game, Scotty.
Oh, yeah, Phoenix definitely. In Boston, we'll start. They're five back at Cleveland. They're not catching, right, the Cavaliers with 10 games left, five back. They know that. And they're seven ahead of the Knicks. So, and the Knicks aren't clearly catching them. So this is, for all intents and purposes, an exhibition game. So why, you're right, Joe, why in the world, in the world of the NBA, where every superstar player, takes off at the slightest little injury, and Tatum and the Celtics are actually halfway decent, I'll admit that. But that all said, why in the world would they risk anything? It's been a long road trip. It's been a successful road trip. They're red hot. They're 11-1. Their last 10-1. Their last 11. There's just no reason to play these guys. So, but it's up to six. Phoenix is one of the worst against the spread teams in the NBA. But that's generally as a favorite. You're getting them 6 points now. I'm going to take a stab on the Suns, who are fighting for their playoff lives, and not just playoff lives, like play-in lives. I mean, they really, are in danger of not even making the play-in situation, let alone the actual top six playoffs. So give me the Suns at home getting six.
I want to ask you about the late NIT game coming up here tonight, Scotty, because the money rolling in on UAB, like people know what the score is. It is now down to, I saw 2.5 threes in the market here. UAB opened up as a 5-point dog to UC Irvine here. If UAB is going to get that much love and win this game, how does this stay? How does this not go over this game, Scotty?
I know, and I actually looked it up, Joe. We did the show this past weekend, and I actually took the time and looked it up. Now, it did go only 1-3 last night, but heading into last night, 24 overs, 8 unders, and 1 push in non-NCAA tournament games. And all the NIT, CBI, 24-8. So this line opened up 158.5. That's where I'm looking at. It's all the way down to 155.5, and I see it at 154.5 in some circles. I'm going with the over on both of them. Why not? Kent State Loyola is underway as well. That was 141.5. They're right on pace, 32-30. But I'm going to go same thing with UAB, UC Irvine. Yeah, give me the over 155.5, 154.5.
Yeah, I agree here. I do not understand, but boy, oh boy, UAB is getting all sorts of love here tonight in this one. And you mentioned it, Kent State Loyola underway, Scotty, 32-30 in the final minute in the first half. It is still trending towards the over, 143.5. And can I tell you, I'd be looking at that second half total, and I'd be looking to go over there as well, Scotty.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's on pace. You know, you're going to get another 3 to 5 points in the final minute here, so it's going to be right around halfway, a little bit less.
Yep.
But I definitely like the over. Yeah, second half as well.
Over it is. Yep. All right, we're going to see you coming up here in about 9 minutes, top of the hour. In-game live is coming your way. You'll cover all these games. In the meantime, we got much more to cover here as Game Time Decisions. We'll be back with an update in the NBA. We'll let you know what's happening next on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in here. Game Time Decisions on the Sports Grid Network as we look to close up this edition with you. But in-game live coming up here in just about 5 minutes, Scotty Wetzel and company will have you covered with all the action here tonight, including the NBA, which has a couple games underway already. Washington 60-49 over Philadelphia 76ers about 2 minutes ago before the break in that one. The Lakers and Indiana knotted up at 16 apiece. Got about 6 minutes left to go in the first there. The Clippers were getting boat raced early by the New York Knicks. It's now 18-12. This line had flipped to the Clippers getting three from laying five to getting three in just the first 4 minutes of the first quarter. We jumped in at plus three on the L.A. Clippers. It is now an 18-12 New York Knicks advantage. Got about 5 minutes ago in that one. Toronto and Brooklyn, as if anybody cares, but it is 17-8 Toronto on top. Also, Kent State and Loyola, 37-33 coming up at the end of the first half. That is the first NIT action here tonight, the second game. UAB taking on UC Irvine. The winners of both of these games will head to Indy to play in the NIT Championship. Don't forget, tomorrow it begins. The madness kicks up again tomorrow and Friday, not to mention Saturday and Sunday. But the Sweet 16 will start tomorrow, and we'll be back again tomorrow for a special edition of Game Time Decisions from 6 p.m. Eastern to 7. And then, of course, we'll give way to Bracket Central, who will have you covered with all that is going on here with those Sweet 16 matchups. And again, you're going to get it right around 7:09, the first game. That's going to be BYU-Alabama. Then you're going to have Maryland and Florida closer to 8 o'clock. And then the late games will be Arizona Duke and Texas Tech and Arkansas. Still seeing Duke getting some love in the marketplace. 9.5s continuing to show up in that one. Alabama has been getting nothing but love. Not a whole lot of love for BYU here as they are getting 5.5 points. They got plenty of shooting in BYU. The problem is, so does Alabama. Here, I think it's a game in which Duke will win against Arizona, who has played worse against the better competition that they faced. And don't forget, early on in the year, we saw this Duke-Arizona game. Yeah, it didn't go well for Arizona in that one. Don't think it's going to go well for Arizona in this one. And I do think Alabama, for those of you who have a ticket on the other side of the bracket, maybe a Texas Tech or a Florida or a Michigan State, your best chance at Duke not showing up in the Final Four or the championship game from that side, I do think will be Alabama here with an opportunity to knock them off. But you got to win the games tomorrow first. Duke will have an opportunity to impose their will on Arizona, and Alabama will certainly show that they are worthy of consideration as a national champion. And then Florida and Maryland. Florida still laying 6.5 points over the Terrapins there. The total has been getting some love in that one too, up to 157 right now, 157 and a half. It would not shock me at all if that game lands in the mid to upper 160s. I do think the over is worth a look in that one. And of course, we've had conflicting tonight here thoughts on this Texas Tech and Arkansas matchup. Arkansas, the number 10 seed, the longest shot of the crew right now, taking on number 3 seed Texas Tech in the West Regional. And I can tell you, Texas Tech, 5.5 points. It's held steady. There are some rumors that maybe Chance McMillan, their lead guard, could play. But I think if you're looking to back Texas Tech, you've got to believe that if he plays or if he doesn't play, they're still going to beat Calipari and this Arkansas team. And everything Calipari has done to this point, every button he has pushed, has worked with this Arkansas team. A little Calipari magic. Can it continue? We'll have so much more on the Sweet 16 coming up. In the meantime, In Game Live is coming your way. We'll see you again tomorrow on Game Time Decisions. Enjoy the night. We'll see you soon.